Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Unfortunately, I didn't do that last night. I mean, come on. I'm kidding. Rough one.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tough one.
Yeah.
Brutal. Did you stick around for all 9?
No, hell okay. No. Once I went down 2-0, I was out. I mean, 2-0 is an insurmountable lead at this point in time. So at 2-0, I bounced and went and watched Taylor Swift videos from Tight End University for the rest of the evening.
Got to be one of the greatest places to hang out.
I mean, how cool is that, right?
I mean, the videos that have surfaced from this entire thing obviously would be awesome. I've never been to Nashville.
I haven't either. Like, that's the one place like I haven't been, really.
I think I've stayed overnight on the way to Myrtle Beach as a kid.
Doesn't count, right?
Yeah.
I went as a kid, too. Doesn't really count.
Yeah, I want to go as a grown man.
Yeah.
For many reasons. One, I think that's probably got to be the best destination for a single male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And then this tight end university thing, right? It's one of these things that's still kind of fresh. I know it's been around for quite some
time. 5 years only. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's still kind of newish, but everybody kind of knows it because it goes at a right time when we're pining for anything other than talking about almost a no hitter,
right?
and last night's game. But we see the videos yesterday, like that circulated Travis Kelce talking to these like kids and other people about how to break out of routes. Like it looks like Mac talking to Ralph before a Chiefs game in the parking lot.
Absolutely,
like, you want to plant, stay equal on your left, so then you can explode out to the right. Really informative video. If you haven't seen it, it went, you know, totally viral yesterday. And then
do they show my video from the Super Bowl where I imitated Travis Kelce at Tight End University? I mean, that would have been a good video to show.
But you can find that on the Fan 965's Instagram page. It's somewhere in the archives. But no, that was great. And that was a damn good tight end. You were doing that too.
Is he's at Tight End University, right?
Oh, he's got to be there. Is it McBride from Arizona?
Yeah. Have you seen the picture of the people that are down there? It's like a fraternity composite, and it's like. Every tight, like if you're not there and you're a tight end, like you're missing out on something, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, I think Peyton Hendershot missed the invite.
Did he?
But that's okay. But it seems like it's one of these things that's now becoming like kind of like the cool bros. Like, I don't know, like it's obviously, like you said, it's like a fraternity. It's like Kittle and Greg Olson's out there. Obviously, Travis Kelce, Turd Ferguson, funny name. He's out there.
He's out there too.
So then that brings in all this celebrity superpower because Kittle's wife, obviously famous for doing her things with the with the fabrics and all that stuff, with the jackets. Then you have, I don't know, Taylor Swift,
right?
Who out of nowhere yesterday in this Nashville bar pop up, shake it off. Everybody loses their mind. All the football players, celebrities, looking like they're all like the people that bought the tickets to go to Arrowhead and see her.
Yeah,
kind of just a cool event. I don't know if there's a place right now. Because of Nashville, because of tight ends who seem to have like the best personalities in football. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but you know, it just seemed like it would be a really cool place to hang out.
It really did. And look, Taylor Swift shows up on stage and plays with that band. I mean, that's got to be the great. I'm getting goosebumps talking about that. Like, how cool is that? If you're just some random band in Nashville, you have no idea she's going to come on stage. She may be in the crowd. You know, there was obviously everybody was saying she was going to be down there, but then she pops up and plays with that band. Like, it continues to show how great a human being she really is. And I think sometimes that gets lost. with all of her music and all this kind of stuff. She's just a great human being, hanging out at the, you know, Children's Mercy with the kids, you know, a couple of months ago, and then showing up down in Nashville and making that band's life by singing with them and doing that whole thing. And as you mentioned earlier, like grown men going nuts with Taylor Swift on stage and losing their minds because she is the greatest entertainer that this country probably has ever seen. I mean, she's the biggest star in the world right now. And for her to pop up like that and sing, it's just really cool. I just love everything about her because it's just so, I want to use the term organic. It's not fake. You know, a lot of these people in you know, celebrity status people, there's a lot of fakeness that goes on out there. And Taylor just isn't like that. She is so genuine. I hope Tony Dungy was pissed off about that last night too and said, we don't have room for singing at Tight End University, right? Did we hear from that loser? I mean, come on now. So I thought she was great, man. I thought she was great to be there. The guys loved it. And you're right, man. Like, that is really a cool place to be right now. All the tight ends in the NFL and college and whatnot.
Yeah.
Nashville, Tennessee, Taylor Swift, the whole nine yards. Like, that looks like it's a blast. It really does, man. It looks like it's a ball of fun. I think the only group of players that may be more fun than that are still the offensive linemen. And tight ends are basically glorified offensive linemen, right? Because those offensive linemen know how to party. They slam beers. They know how to eat. They have a good time in life, too. So I love it, man. I love everything about Taylor Swift. I love everything she's brought to our community and our city. And I love that she's down there doing that at Tight End University. And I love seeing Greg Olsen lose his mind over it, too. That's the cool part.
Yeah, because they showed a video yesterday. They were like in some, like, I don't know if it's like a downstairs bar in Nashville. I've never been there, but I know it's just Bar Central on their main street. Like, different floors, different performers on every floor. And they were playing one of her songs, and like Greg Olsen and this other dude were like getting absolutely just tanked and hanging out. And you could just see Taylor's just like, okay, guys, like pull it together here. Like, everything's gonna be all right. Like, it's okay. And they're just, you know, these established celebrities as well that have been in football. And it's like they're within range of me to this computer of Taylor Swift, and they just lose their mind. So
right.
It's like, it shows you like the level of stardom that one person can have where it's like, well, you're Greg Olsen, right? And you played in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Had like 4,000 yards in a row. Like, great tight end. Miami Hurricanes. Like, yeah. But you're Taylor Swift.
Right. You know, it's like it's not even the same vernacular, you know?
That's Travis Kelce. Yeah. Chiefs tight end. Yep. Yeah. 3-time Super Bowl champion. Yep. Super good looking dude. Yep.
Yeah.
But you're Taylor Swift.
You're Taylor Swift.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Cavender twins are there. Who?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, you know, is there. Like, she's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. Again, so genuine and just so nice about everything, too. Like, I'm sure she does have security and all that kind of stuff, obviously, right? But, like, you don't see her walking in like some of these SEC football coaches, right?
Well, I mean,
like,
she has her walk. She gets brought in by the security
she
car.
She does, but she's Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they show her walking down the ramp at Arrowhead for sure.
But you don't see her around with, like, state troopers like you do SEC football coaches. Like, the Vanderbilt coach does not need 4 state troopers around him as he's leaving the field, okay? Like, Taylor Swift doesn't even have that kind of entourage when she's out there doing her thing. You got 4 state troopers around every SEC coach. Come on now. But no, she's just wonderful. And Nashville, I mean, one of the few places as an adult, like I said, I haven't been that I would love to go. And Tight End University looks really, really cool. And look, everybody's having a good time at this time of the year. This is what it is for the NFL. It's kind of their party time. One last kind of run before you get to training camp in St. Joe and sweat it all out. My big question, though, for you guys is, how many beers do you think it takes a guy like Greg Olsen to get to that level?
Just beers?
Or whatever, G-Rig? Whatever, like whatever. Like where you see athletes who are, you know, obviously in great shape, their bodies metabolize food like that because they stay in such great shape. Like, how many beers do you think, or drinks or cocktails or whatever you want to use, does it take to get an athlete to that level that we see those guys at last night? Because I know for me, it's like 3 shots of tequila and I'm ready to go, right? You know, like, and I look at those guys, I'm like, you're slamming Bud Lights because it's sponsored by Bud Light. Like, how many of those do you think those guys are deep at that point of the evening, you know?
I don't think it's that point you need to worry about. It's how many they have before they've gotten to their
destination.
That's
what I'm saying, yeah.
I mean, and we remember the picture of Christian McCaffrey's wedding where they're all together and Greg Olsen's shirt is like half undone, full of sweat, his hair's wild. It's like, clearly Greg's the guy at the wedding you want to be around. I don't need to remind you, you can go back and look at the video from the 7th floor crew and listen to his bars in that rap line and let you know what kind of, you know, partier Greg Olsen is. But yeah, I mean, beer's deep for him, man. I bet a 6-pack gets him feeling like out of the realm of like worried or nervous. I think that kind of settles down the whole, like, all right, be careful, guys. Like, you know, we're athletes. People are coming after, you know, whatever. I think after a 6, he's probably loose. And then I feel like he's probably a switch to like a gin and tonic, vodka tonic kind of guy.
Because I look at a guy like Greg Olsen. We'll just use him as an example because he was one partying last night. He seems to be a guy for me that's going to be like a Wade Boggs type of guy, or he has like four beers and he's done for the evening, right? Because he's not used to drinking. So which one is it? Is he Wade Boggs or is he,
Kelsey's four beers?
You think Kelsey's the Wade Boggs of the group? Really? Okay.
The only time we've seen him absolutely masterly wasted was when he was just drinking literally out of a Don Julio bottle. Like during a parade, like, yeah, that's going to get us all, like, that's snake oil.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, I don't know, man, but I would love to hang out in that environment.
We should all go to Nashville when they play the Titans in Tennessee this year.
You picking up the tab on that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll get us a place to stay for free, but no.
So yeah, it's just fun, man. It's that time of year. Just have fun. Enjoy yourself. Be careful, Titan University. Don't get anybody hurt at the parties.
Kelsey was like talking about those routes. I'm like, hey, man, easy on the plant, dude. Like,
You don't want to blow your knee planting in Nashville.
How many times did you watch that video of him explaining how to come out of a break? Seriously.
I only need to watch it once.
Well, Mac, you ought to take notes, like he said, to start the show. So when we're out in the parking lot this year, Ralph's throwing you perfect passes. You're not making an ass of yourself. You know, look, I learned from Travis here, man.
Exactly right. Straight A student, tight end.
Yeah, tight end university. Like, guys are taking notes and everything. And I mean, look, if you're a young tight end in this game, this is the best time to be a young tight end in the NFL. Like, when Travis came in, you know, you were on the fringe of Tony Gonzalez leaving and whatnot. The position hadn't really flipped over to this glamour position that it is right now. Like I said yesterday, I still think it's the next position to really get paid, you know, in the NFL, because guys are going to start to figure out, and the league's going to start to figure out, they're not colluding allegedly, that the tight end is the next position to go out there and pay, because these guys are tremendous athletes. I mean, every team now seemingly has a really good tight end option, where 5 years ago we had like Travis Kelce, Greg Olsen at the tail end, a couple of guys sprinkled in. Now every team's got a great tight end. It's hard to keep them all straight anymore.
Well, it's also just like an evolution of a position.
Yeah,
like it's like the shooting guard. I don't know if that's a good example for the NBA, but it's like, you would think back in the day, like, I don't know, NBA guys are just so tall, but like shooting guard, 6'3 guy, but now it's like guys 6'10 shoot threes and like are able to like move the court back. And like back in the day, your tight end traditionally was a blocker that would run like a delayed like boot pass out to the right or the left, and it was like a third read option. Now like offenses revolve around tight ends, and you see these guys take off, because the old narrative in Mac knows this in fantasy, always be weary when you draft a rookie tight end, because they seem to have a slump year that first year, because obviously they're playing in a league of men. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing these tight ends just evolve. And again, the guy out on the clock is Ty Warren, out of Penn State, went to Indianapolis.
Nice guy.
And I can guarantee you right now,
how's he going to have success with those two quarterbacks?
But that's
though.
What I'm going to get to. I guarantee you Daniel Jones, like, thank God I got that guy. Just like last year, Gardner Minshew in LA. I mean, we could talk to Gardner Minshew this year about it. Like, how awesome was it to have Brock Bowers as a target last year? He's like, dude's a freak.
Dude's
you look
nuts.
At Jared Goff. Oh, man. Sam LaPorta. Guy's a freak. You look at Brock Purdy with George Kittle. Alex Smith with Travis Kelce.
I mean, the dudes in Arizona are talking about being the next Mahomes and Kelce right now. Like, you need a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. But I mean, like, you're sitting out there. But that's where the conversations are now, you know, with this position group. It's crazy. Like, every team has a really good tight end. And it's fun to see, you know, when Travis and all them came in the league, they didn't really have anybody to lean on. And now all these young tight ends are coming in the league. They've got these veteran guys to lean on. And I like the fact that they're passing along their information. That's the way you do it. You raise the next, you know, group of players in the game, keep that position churning and burning, get guys paid.
The only guy that can't lean on a tight end is a Chiefs backup tight end. No leaning.
But back in the day, though, you had like a catch tight end like Tony Gonzalez, and then you had like Jason Dunn. As your blocking tight end. And that was it. As long as you had like one tight end that could catch a couple of passes, but you always had that big blocking tight end. Those days have changed.
Well,
now,
that's the
too.
Thing is, you think about it too, is, you know, the evolution of Kelce and Gronk are basically, they walked so everybody else could run. And I get it, Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp, Antonio Gates, great tight ends.
Right.
But like those guys were, it was like one and that was it. It was them. And then, you know, they kind of meshed in between their careers, and Sterling Sharp's in there as well. But like now, I mean, I just raffled off like six tight ends that are all playing currently that are almost all in their primes. Yeah. So it's, or entering their prime in the NFL. So it's very evolutionary to see with that position.
It's fun.
You've got receivers that have evolved. You have tight ends that have evolved, and we want to know why it's an offensive league.
Right. Exactly.
Question for you. Do you still have Sage?
Yeah, I think I've got some. Yeah. If not, I can order some on Amazon and have it here today.
We might need to get it ordered directly, immediately to the K. We'll explain why, because things are very, very sour at home. Here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Here on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. We'll get to our poll question here in a bit. But boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy, was last night tough.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. But there's that for you. It. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Because you're running out of those 50 games that you can lose. Last night, Royals fall to the Rays, I believe, 5-1.
Yep.
Vinny, by the way, got a hit with a runner in scoring position.
Wow, huge. Wow. Let's put up a statue.
Well, here we are. You know, I'm trying to find positives here, Bob.
Yeah, they're adults, you know, and they're not getting the job done. So. And he got a hit.
But, the dude, Bradley, I believe was his name, perfect game going into, the seventh?
Yeah.
LeFevre doing his part, even going out on a break. And we'll be right back, and hopefully so will the offense. Something along those
lines. Did Ryan say that?
No, he said he goes. We'll take a break, and we need some runs. And I think they went to the break. It was something along those lines. I don't want to put words in LeFevre's mouth, but it was something along the line of, and they need runs. Binkley at 6:45, McEntrero at 9 o'clock here on Fesco and Dusty. But yeah, I asked you seriously, man, about the Sage, because something about the K right now ain't sitting right with these boys in blue. What is that? 8 in a row at home now they've lost?
Dude, they haven't won since May 31st at home.
And they haven't won a series since, May 7th?
Yeah, that early series against Chicago, yeah.
And they got swept by the A's, swept by the Yankees. They lose three game series against Tampa. Again, they play tonight, and then they'll play Thursday afternoon at 1:10. But Sage, a chicken, get that white chalk out, draw a circle in center field with a star in the middle of it, and sit cross-legged with your hands doing the whole Buddha pose. I don't know what you got to do, man. There is an aura at the K that is on this team right now that it just needs to be shook, change. I don't know if they need to come into work today with just no shoes on. What is that guy's name? Hollis? Whatever that guy's name
is. Mac Hollins.
Yeah. Oh, Mac Hollins from Buffalo. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I don't know what they need to do, but damn.
It's bad. It really is. I mean, and that's not, being rude. That's not being wrong. It's a bad display of offense right now. And again, it starts with Bobby 0-for-4 last night in the ballgame, and they lose. I mean, it's no coincidence when the big three show up, Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi. This team has an easy opportunity to win baseball games. And when those guys don't show up, they don't win. Now, Salvi had a hit last night. Vinny had a hit last night. That was two of your four hits in the ballgame last night. Bobby goes 0-for-4. He's not getting the job done. He's down to 282, I think, right now on the season. Cags has now dropped below 200. It's not on him. It's on those big three. It's on those three guys that need to get the job done, the catalysts of your offense. And until they pick it up and play like, we're used to seeing them play and playing like the stars that they are, this team's just not going to win many games. And they can go out and get all the bats that they want and try to make all the trades that they want and all this kind of stuff to make the team better. It still comes down to your main guys performing. And I mean, we talk about it all the time. Did Aaron Judge perform over the last 2 weeks? No. And the Yankees have stunk. What's going on in New York right now? The only person who's performing is Juan Soto for the Mets. And they're 1-10 in their last 11 games because nobody else in that lineup, from a big name standpoint, is stepping it up. So you've got to have your big name players get the job done. And I know it sounds so simple, but that's what it comes down to. And listening to JJ's comments yesterday, talking about the trade deadline, Dusty, he mentioned John Sherman being very, very, very excited about this pitching staff, right? And they want to take advantage of the pitching staff. Who doesn't? They're having a historic season from a pitching standpoint. I was telling my friend yesterday, my buddy Jim came over for a while. We're sitting there talking, and he goes, I really haven't watched much this year. You know, he goes, how about the pitching? It looks pretty good. I go, yeah, it's been good every night. But when you can't score, what the hell does it matter how good the pitching is? And so they've got to find a way to rectify this thing from a run standpoint, because now you're 3 games under .500, right? Yesterday you were 2. Now you're 3 games under .500. Ooh. The earliest you can be over .500 again or at .500 is Saturday, and that requires winning 3 straight. And Tampa rolled out their weakest pitcher yesterday, you know, in their rotation, and that dude pitched a perfect game, essentially, against the Royals yesterday.
After getting shelled in his last time he pitched.
Exactly. Like you went against a guy yesterday you had an opportunity against, and you didn't take advantage of that opportunity. And no more do we talk about, well, it's going to change, it's going to flip. We're at the midseason part. This is who they are right now. Mm-hmm. This is who this team is. A very good pitching team. Like we said at the beginning of the year, World Series rotation, minor league offense.
Tonight's the race. Rasmussen.
Yeah. So, again, the guy that
the hell was last night. Glad I got a swim meet tonight.
He was a bum, Stedman. Royals 3.5 games out of the third wild card spot. We don't need to talk about the division. It's over. Detroit just keeps powering away. They have a 9.5 game lead over to the next closest team, which is the Guardians. Royals 11.5 out of the division. Just seemed very pressing last night. Seemed like Bobby Witt wasn't there. Didn't seem like Chris Bubich had his stuff. Michael Garcia makes a crucial error at third. And then there's that, again, Vinny Pasquantino and his hand are involved at first base. And it's just from the offense that we see on the road to the offense that we see at home, I don't know what it is. I don't know if they just they get in there and they see a view and it's something that doesn't click, or I have no idea why it stalls at home, but it thrives on the road. They went to St. Louis, put up runs, right? Mm-hmm. They went to Texas, put up runs, played in San Diego, competed, didn't put up a ton of runs, but I mean, what, five or six in the first game? Mm-hmm. And then you get back home and it's like, oh, great. Now, again, maybe that's just, again, I don't know. Maybe that's one bad game of the series and they win the next two. Hopefully, that'd be great. But again, you have the Dodgers on the backside. And we talked about this earlier in the, yesterday, Bob. If they fall flat on their face in this week's series, which is a very possibility now, mm-hmm. losing one of the first three to Tampa Bay, who's the top team in the wild card, and then if the Dodgers come in here and
they're close to taking the division now from the Yankees. I think they're only 2 back now of the Yankees in that division.
Playing really good ball. And they have a lot of vowels in their players' names. I mean, props to Lefevre last night for saying those batters' names for Tampa Bay. I mean, it brutal. But you, the Dodgers, if they make you look, you know, disgusting and just run in here and run out, and every game is just what the Yankees did to you, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden you're looking at the possibility of going maybe 1-5 on this homestand with Arizona, Seattle, and then you're really in trouble, because then you will have the whole conversation. It will no longer be, is this team a playoff team? It will be, when is this team selling?
Right, exactly.
And we're not quite yet to camp yet. So we're a lot behind schedule on this season, and things have to drastically change, and it has to happen at home.
It does. It needs to change almost automatically, or immediately, I should say, not automatically, but immediately. It needs to absolutely 100% change. But again, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And I think that's kind of where we are with this offense right now. It just is what it is. And I kind of jokingly said when they went down 2-0, it's insurmountable. But it is. I mean, a 2-0 lead is insurmountable right now for the Kansas City Royals. And until they can prove that they can come back from being down 1-0 or 2-0, it's going to be a hard watch for a lot of folks, I think, moving forward. And I think, you know, when you play that style of baseball like we saw, that's what kind of turns fans off. And you want to turn fans on. You want to keep them engaged. But not being able to score runs, it's just not an exciting brand of baseball right now. And we're showing the highlights on MLB Network, and it's just like strikeout after strikeout after strikeout after strikeout. And this guy was dominating on the mound last night. A guy with a 5 ERA, Dusty, went out there and dominated your ass last night. And so this is who this team is. And again, they knew that going in. They tried their asses off. It's not for lack of effort. It's just that this is where they sit, and this is kind of the cards that they were dealt, and we're going to have to see going forward if they're going to be able to find a bat that can produce at some point in time, you know, for this organization. But as we sit right now, I don't know that there's any light at the end of the tunnel, because I don't think it's just one bat right now that helps this ball club. It's probably got to be at least two bats that come in here and help this team right now. The good news is, you said bring the Sage. We'll have a new ballpark sooner rather than later somewhere. Maybe that will change their fortunes at home when they see a new stadium in a couple of years.
No doubt. Royals again in action today, as they'll have Michael Wacha on the mound for the boys in blue today at home against the Tampa Bay Rays. Again, that game is at 6:40 again tonight. Rasmussen going against Wacha. He is 6-5, 2.61 ERA. Excuse me. Tough task, but Josh Verner will join you guys here on 96.5 The Fan at 5:30. Binkley in about 15 minutes and Matt Cotrero at 9 o'clock. I will say this. It does get bad at baseball games.
Yep.
Last night there was a pretty brutal thing that happened in the Arizona game, as this happened to one of their players, Marte.
Welcome back to Chicago. This is from the previous pitching change. Torey Lovello with Ketel Marte in tears on the pitcher's mound, waiting for the reliever to come in, consoling Ketel Marte, who was in tears. Ketel Marte in tears, kneeling down behind second base, being consoled by his teammates. Now, we can only speculate as to what bad news that Ketel has received, but he was very emotional out there as Beeks comes in to face Austin Slater, the pinch hitter, and Slater, batting for Rojas, flies out. No idea why Ketel was in tears there during the pitching change. He might be upset about his teammate Ildemaro Vargas suffering a broken foot earlier in the game, but that was unusual.
So Ketel Marte was in tears, crouching down at second base. We didn't really understand what happened, and then we were told later on throughout the game that there was a fan heckling him about his deceased mother.
Right. She died in 2017 in a car accident, Dusty. And what a scumbag. I mean, yeah. There's just really no other way to put it. And the fan was kicked out of the game for saying whatever it was that he said. Now, it doesn't appear that anybody really knows the truth of what was said. I did see a report that said he was yelling at him while he was hitting about his mother being up in heaven or something like that, and really got on Ketel Marte for that. And then to see his manager come out and console him like that, you know, people want managers fired all the time, and I think Torey Lovello has probably been a rumored manager to be fired. There are reasons why guys don't get fired, and Torey Lovello showed you why he's the right manager for that Arizona Diamondbacks after the game yesterday.
We have to go to Ketel Marte, and there was obviously a very emotional scene out there, and we know how close you are with him. What can you share with us?
It was a terrible moment. Fans are nasty, and fans go too far sometimes. And I love my players, and I'm going to protect them.
Your protection starts way before today, though. You guys go so far. We were talking on the air. I know you're a father figure to him, are you not?
Right, yeah. You know, I've known Ketel for 9 years, and he's had some unbelievably great moments and some hardships as well, and some really, really tough moments in his life. And I know those. And at the end of the day, we're human beings, and we have emotions, and I saw him hurting, and I want to protect him.
Can you tell us what you told him?
I love you, and I'm with you, and we're all together, and you're not alone. And no matter what happens, no matter what was said or what you heard, that guy's an idiot, and shouldn't have an impact on you.
There you go.
Yeah, great stuff by the manager of the Diamondbacks, man. That's what you want. That's what a manager is supposed to do. Be there for his guys. It's not about, you know, the X's and O's in baseball. A manager affects, I think everybody will tell you in baseball, about 10 games per year, right? It's about managing the people and being there for your guys. I mean, I go back to Ned Yost when Chris Young lost his mother as well. Moustakas lost his mom, you know, along the way in that 2015 season. Obviously, Edison Volquez lost his dad. I mean, we saw a lot of that.
Did he go like a gym after that
in game four? Yeah, of the World Series. Right. Game four or five of the World. Was it game five of the World Series? The clincher that night in New York was after his father passed away.
I just remember, but it was amazing.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps again talking about that. But that was Ned who managed the situations and managed those guys and was there for them when you have a big loss. And you look, you've lost your mother. I've not lost my mother yet. I don't know what that feeling is like. But I do know if you're in the stands heckling players over the loss of their mother, you're some sort of douchebag, man. Like, and I'm glad they kicked kicked him out of the stadium. But you know, the White Sox fan base right now is has been a vile fan base. They had a guy attack one of our first base coaches in Tom Gamboa years ago. And then you had this happen at a game. I think people have to realize that buying a ticket to a game is not a license to be a jerk. It's not a license to go out there and be socially unacceptable to the players. You can boo, absolutely boo. You can say, man, you stink. You didn't get the job done tonight. But you can't go personal with somebody and start attacking their mother who passed away tragically almost 10 years ago and is still having a profound impact on that player every single day. Like, Ketel Marte deserves a standing ovation wherever he goes, and everybody needs to love him up. The other thing about that guy, have you looked at his numbers this year? He's like a 320 hitter with double-digit home runs, you know, approaching, I think, 50 RBI. He's having a great year right now.
Yeah, he's one of the top players.
And so, like, to do that to that guy or to anybody, and anybody in any walk of life, if you're some sort of loser, man, you need to check yourself. And that fan, that guy's a scumbag. There's no other way to put it.
No, the manager said it perfectly.
That guy's an idiot.
Yep.
which, I mean, I love it for the drop because...
That guy's an idiot.
You know, we'll have plenty of opportunities for that, I can guarantee you. But right. Yeah, that's just one of those things where, you know, and I'm not perfect. I've probably said some stuff at games back in my younger days that I probably shouldn't have.
Of course, I did too. I know I have.
And... You know, I do love the guy in the crowd that says something unique, right? Or the guy that can, you know, play off of it. Like if he's a Yankees fan and says, that's my shortstop. And then you stand up when your shortstop does something. It's like, well played. Yeah.
Yeah.
But attacking someone that you had to do due diligent research to kind of find out that, A, that guy's mom had passed away. B, you had it ready, holding in the chamber, ready to fire it away when you had the right moment. And I get it. We can ask Cotrero this today, like how many things they hear that sometimes aren't passable, right? There's things that we can read on the text line that are passable or that we get tweeted at that are just like, whatever. But sometimes there's stuff that people reach out to you and say, where you're like, damn, dude, like that hurt. You know, like you get called a certain name or somebody brings up a certain part of your past that you're not particularly wanting to revisit. And that's what happened last night in this game. And that's, you know, that's how you get nominated as a Richard of the Week. That's how hopefully those fans around him are like, right here, he's the one that said it. Like, right. That's okay to be a rat in that situation because, you know, we ain't got time for that in this world. It's already crazy, hectic, and rude. And to add to that is not cool. But again, one of the greatest things you could see is your manager who's, you know, Arizona's been slipping lately.
Yep.
There'll be a team that you'll see here in a couple weeks.
They're going to rally.
So anytime bet on Marte to hit a home run today, hell, put a +2 on it and see what happens to that.
Yeah.
I do want to get into our tweet for the weekly poll question on X. So you can go to the Fan 965. We ask you on there, since the Royals lineup is something of a conversation, whether they can hit or not at home or who you want to see hit third. So the three names we have, because we see a lot of Bobby Witt Jr. should hit third, Michael Garcia should hit second or lead off. So who hits third for this Royals team if you had the choice? Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, or Jack Caglione?
Yeah, I would put Cags in that number three spot right now. And again, I'm stealing it from MLB Network and Mark DeRosa talking about Roman Anthony, you know, for the Red Sox batting three. And he goes, he took off when he started hitting number three. And right now, nothing is working in your lineup. So why not try something different? Why not try Jack Caglione there? If he's going to be that guy, you know, moving forward, that power hitter in your lineup, let's see what he can do behind Bobby Witt. May help him out a little bit too, knowing that, okay, Bobby Witt's ahead of me and he's going to see some good pitches. I'll have an opportunity to stand on deck for a while, see what this pitcher's got going, and then Bobby's going to get on and I'll have an opportunity to knock him in. So I would put Cags at that number three spot because as of right now, nothing is working that you're rolling out there for the lineup.
Yeah. So, I mean, like Cags is, he's struggling. Like he's in the, you know, he's in game 19 tonight, right? And we'll see what happens. He's got to get going a little bit more. You know, he had the two homer game, the robbed home run. He's had hard hit balls, but again, I'm with everybody else where I hate the whole excuse of, boy, they're hitting it hard. Just bad luck. It's like, okay, well, enough.
Those hard hit rates things are excuses for failure. And that's where I come in with the analytics and the hard hit rate and all that kind of stuff. you're justifying failure by using those. And at the end of the day, did you get on base? Did you score runs? That's what matters. And the major leagues is hard, man. Like, I don't think people at times realize how hard it is to play big league baseball. And we expect so much out of our young prospects just to come up and hit the ground running. And it's very rare that guys come up from the minor leagues and hit the ground running. And Cags is experiencing it right now. And it's good to experience failure right now, because I don't know that he's ever experienced failure. And if you can experience failure and rebound from that, you learn a hell of a lot more than sitting down in AAA beating up on some, you know, 40-year-old former farmhand.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't bring him up to send him back down. At least I wouldn't think so. I mean, the Mets did that to Ronald Acuna's brother.
Yeah.
Ronald Acuna went absolutely berserk.
Yeah, he did.
Smart move. 1-10 Mets. maybe don't do that. Hey, his brother's going to be in town. Be kind of cool. Let's see what happens. And gone. So we ask you on our weekly poll question on a Wednesday, who do you want to see hit third for this Kansas City Royals lineup? Of course, we get a text. No one cares. They can't hit. Doesn't matter.
That guy's an idiot.
That's not the poll question. Mm-hmm. The poll question is, who do you want to see hit third in this Royals lineup? Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, Jack Caglione.
Craig Olsen.
I mean, after a few, man, he might be able to hit one to the moon, man. That guy is on another level.
Craig Olsen, baby.
We'll ask Jay Binkley how turned up he'd get at tight end university. God can only imagine what Jay Binkley would do in Nashville during tight end university. We'll talk to Jay Binkley coming up on the other side. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
To the wrong number.
I always like those. Is somebody running late for work, or they got to pick up the kiddo after school or something?
From the 913, FYI, you had the wrong number. Hey, boss, sorry I didn't get the slide presentation there completed. I did stay up late to work on it, though. So
is that the...
I think his boss just responded with, hey, what goat man? Jay Binkley, how you doing, my guy?
What's up, Dustman? What's up, Bob? You know what, guys? Those random texts to the wrong text number are hilarious. I remember back in like 13 or 14 or something, I would do these Saturday and Sunday morning cheap shows. And it's amazing the kind of stuff that would come in at 2 or 3 in the morning. Mm. I'd be there first thing in the morning. It's like, hey, baby, I'll be right over. Your husband home? Those kind of things.
Oh, my awesome. Lord.
They were sending them to you, though,
respond
Jay.
To them. I would always respond to them and say, I'm on my way, you know, just playing around.
Yeah, no, they were
all over the place.
They were meant for you, Jay. You don't know who's texting it to. They knew you were going to be in that morning. They were ready for you, my man.
I think when they say, hey, do you mind picking up something at the store or something like that, they texted the wrong number. It's just hilarious when the last phone number they texted was to 610 at the time, and they just continue to just find.
Yeah.
Funny. Have you ever sent the accidental text on purpose?
No, not on purpose, but I have done it.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, have you ever gone to tight end university?
No, but I wish I could.
Yeah, right? How cool does that look?
It just looks cool. I mean, you see other, like, offensive linemen now do a thing called the Offensive Line Masterminds and stuff, where they all get together and have, you know, former Trey Smith's a big part of that, too, that goes down to that. They all do it, but tight end university is just taking it to another level. Yeah, they do the stuff on the field and the hard workouts, but they party hard, too. You get, like, Ian Rappaport's of the world now. ESPN was live. For ESPN Live at tight end university. I mean, it's just become a huge thing. It's become the biggest, you know, group, and the defensive ends and edge rushers get together too. So they really started something with Travis and Greg.
Is that the premier position now, the next premier position in the NFL that's going to get paid? Because I feel like they are.
I think so, just because of the versatility, because you're talking about a guy that not only can catch the football, but to be able to block too. I mean, just two skill sets like that. It's just such a huge part. And you're going to see more of them. I mean, we've already seen the H-back role, too, where the tight end's kind of the fullback as well, but then slides out there. But you're going to see more and more of that in the NFL. Heck, Gronk is even, you know, a tight end university. But, yeah, it's going to – look at Travis Kelce, all right? For example, he's got 7 years of 90-plus catches in the NFL. Nobody's ever done that.
except for Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald's done it 8 times, but he didn't do it all in a row. Travis has done 90-plus catches 7 years in a row because he had 97 last year. If he gets to 90 this year, it's only him and Larry Fitzgerald. So it just shows you there's one of the best wide receivers, and there's Travis Kelce is the two best pass catchers in the NFL that have caught 90 passes in eight years. That's incredible.
Which one of those tight ends would you like to just have a high top, tabletop, and just go beer for beer with?
Kittle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kittle How many just beers? He's always ready to party, man. He wakes up and he's ready to party. He goes to sleep and he's ready to party. He seems like just a pretty cool dude.
Now, these tight ends, we were talking earlier, to me, they're either, you know, Wade Boggs level drunks, or they're like 3, 4, 5 beers and then they got to call it a night because they're athletes and they're not used to drinking. Where do you think they are, the tight ends?
I agree with you. I think, you know, you get these guys and always working out and stuff, you know, 5 or 6 might get them, but there's probably a lot of them that can put them down. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if some of these guys could do close to a case, something like that. I mean, these guys are partiers because they do get to hang out with the linemen. We all know the linemen are the guys that do all the drinking, but the tight ends are kind of welcome into that group with them. So they're on just a different level, you know. So I'd put them behind the offensive linemen as far as the biggest drinkers.
Binkley, what do they need to do at Coppin Stadium to get this offense going?
Dustman, that's a never-ending question. That was quite the performance last night. I don't know. I don't know why they can hit, but yet when somebody's on base, they can't drive those runners in. It's almost like these pitchers turn into somebody else when they know the Royals have runners in the scoring position, where they're like, all right, we'll just throw them inside and whatever. We'll just, you know, hit it to where they or pitch it to where they can't hit it because they're not going to drive somebody in. But it's incredibly frustrating. That game last night really pissed me off, to be honest with you. I mean, seeing a pitcher that basically the pitcher they faced last night had given up 7 runs one game this month, 6 runs one game this month, and then he shut the Royals down. And that was extremely frustrating, especially a team coming off a rest day yesterday.
So are you saying you're close to your breaking point with this team?
I don't think I'm close to my breaking point. When June 1st hit, I was like, okay, this might be who they are. Usually you are who you are at that point. But I wouldn't say breaking point, just because of so many teams, you know, 9 teams within 2.5, 3 games of getting to the wild card. And then you see Minnesota peeing all over themselves, letting the Royals just kind of hang right in there. So technically, you know, they're still in it. But at some point, I'm like, how long am I going to keep waiting for the hitting to come around? Because they're wasting this window. We talk about these windows in football guys all the time. You get the strike. Like the 49ers missed that opportunity when they're barely paying Brock Purdy. Now they're paying him. We'll see if they can pay everybody else. But you have to strike that window. They're not going to have this pitching again. You know, in 10 years, you can look back and say, man, if the Royals only could have put some hitting with that pitching. Because this might go down as one of the best staffs they've ever had, but yet they didn't take advantage of it because this pitching staff can win in the postseason. It's that good. Unfortunately, the hitting can't.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And that's kind of where we are, you know, and that's why it's always good to kind of refresh people and say, you better be enjoying what's going on at Arrowhead because that thing is not going to last long. But, you know, you got to appreciate these moments. And right now we're seeing the Royals have this moment where the pitching is so good and the defense is so bad. Like, you know, Mahomes style in 2018, where, you know, you go out there and score with the best of them, but you couldn't stop anybody. And so when you have one side of your team that isn't producing, it brings down everybody else. So you had mini camp wrap up last week, your thoughts on the offensive line and where we are. I know you didn't like the Simmons pick much when it happened, but it looked like he may be ready to go for training camp, Jay.
Hey, if it works out, it's a complete coup. It just is. I hope he's ready for training camp. I mean, they said the right things, but Andy did kind of put a caveat there on when he talked at the last day of minicamp about Simmons. He goes, yeah, he should be ready to go, you know, right at the beginning of St. Joe. And everybody took that and ran with it and made headlines in other places. But then he adds, well, we'll see what happens when you put the pads on, when you go full speed, when you have guys, you know, trying to make the team going after the quarterback at full speed. Things get different. I mean, it's different when he's, you know, at minicamp, wearing the shorts, and you're not having to worry about much pressure at all. But you get to St. Joe, and all of a sudden you're facing pass rushers that want to get to the quarterback. They want to make this team. They want to be in the National Football League. And then you have all the pads on. So he's not lifting it 100% yet. So we'll see. I mean, it all sounded good at this point, but I still think it's going to be a wait and see. And Jalen Moore's here for a reason. But I do like the shakeup of the offensive line, because that is a good thing. The Kingsley news makes me the happiest of anything, that this guy, you know, stepping in for Joe Tooney at left guard. But if Josh Simmons works out 100% perfect, then if Jalen Moore is a situation where you have that kind of depth and you can put him on the offensive line for injuries or whatever, but he can be a starter too. And keep this in mind too about Jalen Moore, they signed. He could play a lot of different things. I know he's a tackle, and he played tackle at Western Michigan. He could play on the right or the left, but he went to Western Michigan as a tight end. Like, he was recruited as a tight end. He gets to Western Michigan, they put him a defensive end first, then they finally put him on offensive line. So it shows that he can play many different things. So could be a weapon for Andy Reid on that offensive line if Josh Simmons can be the starter because of how many different things he's able to do.
Bingley, we asked a question yesterday. Would you be more surprised if Joshua Simmons is the starting left tackle or if Rashee Rice is not suspended?
I would say Josh Simmons being the starting left tackle right away. Now, halfway through the season, wouldn't be surprised at all. But who knows about Rashee Rice? I mean, this thing's dragging on. Who knows if it's even going to be settled this year? That's the thing. It could be the whole year that he ends up playing. I mean, it could happen. I mean, you just don't know. That's the biggest mystery. But I think Simmons being 100% healthy, just because of the way he came back. I mean, this is a guy that was hurt in the Oregon game last year. He hadn't played football since the middle of last fall. And playing in the National Football League, completely different experience. I don't care that he went to Ohio State and they won the national championship. Guess what? He didn't play in the national championship. He didn't play in the playoffs. So he didn't get that experience that the Ohio State Buckeyes got last year through the run. Yeah, he came from there, but he didn't get that experience with them. But he would have been the number one tackle taken had he not got hurt. So we'll see. It's just a wait and see. But the Rashee Rice thing, I don't even know anymore. I thought it was a given that it would be this year with the suspension, but it may not be.
How long can they wait on this? I mean, eventually it's just going to go away. And I mean, eventually they just got to say, you know, time has passed.
Well, I don't know, but they will do something. They'll 100% do something because he admitted fault in it. So the NFL will eventually do it. I just think they're doing the right thing. They're waiting for the court case to be settled, waiting to make a decision. So I'm glad they're not jumping the gun like they do a lot of other times, just suspend people because of, you know, hearsay or other things. At least they're letting the whole thing play out.
Bigley, last one. Who do you want to see hit third in this lineup for the Royals?
Nobody. you know, that's a question that I don't think there is a right answer. I guess Mikel. I mean, I'd love to say Kags, but I don't know if Kags would, you know, it'd be the pressure put on him to hit third in this lineup. But I guess just Mikel at this point. Why not? I loved it the other day when it went.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Down to Texas, and Bobby Witt Jr., boom, he gets on base and gets a double. Then they knock him in and score. So I think Bobby's fine where he's at, but I guess Mikel, to be honest with you.
Mikel or no one. Bigley, we'll see you in about 30 minutes up in the studio before you get on the show with Alex today.
All right, fellas, see you soon.
Take care. Well, you didn't expect that one, did you? No one.
Who do you want to see in third? Nobody.
That's right. We'll get back to our poll question on the Fan 965 on X. Who do you want to see hit third for this Royals lineup? Garcia, Bobby, or Kags? Plus, we'll dive into the biggest luxury that does exist for the Chiefs. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Nobody.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.